Welcome back to Central Point Podcast with me, Shireen. Oh, I am so excited for this episode, guys. It is episode 8, Love Resurrects. And when I did the outline for this podcast last year, when I had written this down for the end of February, I was like, ooh, I am looking forward to this one, because I remember how I felt when I had listened back to an account. And I might be getting ahead of myself here, but the place we're going to be in the Bible today, someone had done a preach on it during a weekend. Shout out to Sam Walters. And a lot was going on during that time, and so much revelation was happening at that time. So I was wondering, when we'd come to present day, when I'm recording this episode, what God would draw out, what he'd have me focus on. This is a very loud message. It's a very loud message for me personally, and it's an encouraging one. And once again, I'm just delighting in Jesus. So last week we were in 1 Corinthians 13 and we did not cover verse 7, but we threw it into this episode. And I'm just like, Holy Spirit, you are amazing, because it works so well with this part of the scriptures. And just like, I could not have like made this up, basically. I am just thrilled that this is the example, and like, this is the verse that we've thrown over to continue looking at love. So yeah, I'm just very grateful in this moment, and I do pray that you are blessed by this episode, and that you have been really encouraged during this month. We are coming to the ending of the second month of 2025, and I pray to God that you feel loved, that you have opened yourself to accept the Father's love, and that you're excited to be a representative of that love here on the earth, that you are allowing yourself to really bask in the truth that you get to walk out and be an example of such love. So if we go back to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, I'm going to read it in the NLT first, and then I'll read it in the Amplified version. NLT. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Amplified version. Love bears all things, regardless of what comes, believes all things, looking for the best in each one, hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times, endures all things without weakening. For me personally, this is the hardest verse in regards to love. I mean, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is not light. This is not light. This is incredible love. This is mind-blowing love. This changes people, things, realities. Is this kind of love? Just how incredible it is. Don't you just desire that kind of love? Just reading that, you're like, oh, I just would want someone to position me that way. What would that be like to position someone else that way? And then you realize it's incredible and it is possible because he is. Abba, teach us to love like you. What a wonder. What a wonder. What a spectacle in the earth the body of Christ would be. Wouldn't we just be such a spectacle? Wouldn't the world just be so confused in the best way? Like, maybe there's something going on over there. Maybe this Jesus person whom they say died for me, maybe he did. Maybe I could be like them. The very idea is just exciting to me. I'm just here and I'm bubbling over. Like, I'm bubbling over. And my cheeks hurt already. And we've just started the episode. And my cheeks hurt as well because I'm smiling so much. I love it. And I think with this love, never giving up, never losing faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. I think the hardest place to do that is in death. And I say that because there could be many a death that we experience in life. When if it's a dream, a hope deferred can feel like a death. That just came to me. Let me look it up. Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. When we have, when we experience hope deferred, it can feel like a death. How do you keep holding on? How does it hope in all things, as this love is described as? Always hopeful when you've experienced something like hope deferred. And so the place I have chosen in scripture to focus on is Lazarus's resurrection. Why Lazarus's resurrection? Well, at the beginning of this month, we looked at the resurrection of the widower's son and how Jesus moved with compassion on an unspoken heart's desire for a son to return, and in so doing, saving two lives. Now we're here in John 11, and we're going to look at a different resurrection, where again, Jesus makes a decision, but it's a completely different process. And I'm looking forward to dissecting this process. Like I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I had heard a preach on this part of scripture at a conference one weekend last year. And honestly, at that time, the Lord had spoken a resurrection to me. And I was out. I was out, in all honesty. I was out. And I remember Martha's words to Jesus as the speaker recounted the part of scripture, and it just echoed my sentiments about the circumstance, about the situation. Fast forward, and I'm preparing for this episode, and I read it in the Amplified Version. I didn't read it in the Amplified Version last year. I was reading it in the New King James. And guys, it just highlighted further what was going on at that time and just made so much clearer the gentle lesson the Lord was wanting to give me. Abba once again was teaching, and I'm just here like, what a wonder it is to be a child of God. Like, wow. And this is just a side note. Letting in the spirit of offense will make you unable to see in faith. But let me not get ahead of myself, because we have to read the account. Because like I said, for me, this thing was just past the point of anything, being, I don't know, with any sort of life in it, like any sign of life. It was past it, and the Lord was very clear. Holy Spirit spoke to me so clearly, and whilst I was saying all this inside myself, the Lord was like loud, no, it isn't. And that should have been some sort of comfort, or should have triggered prayer in me over the circumstance, but it did not. Oh my gosh. My faith completely wavered. And I must have lost love. There was love lost due to offense, which preparing for this episode revealed. My gosh. Because it says, remember, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. And God, who is love, had said, Shireen, no, it isn't. And I was like, that doesn't make any sense. Goodness. I love how patient the Lord is. I love how patient God is. I really do. I really, really do. Because I'm in a completely like different mindset from last year. I'm sitting here in a completely different mindset, praising the Lord and thanking him and speaking into what he said. And I look back at that and I'm like, wow. Okay. Okay, Shireen. Without further delay, let's start reading, because we have a lot of scripture to get through. But again, we're going to enjoy slowly going through this account and looking and pausing at certain areas. And of course, I will ad lib or have something to say. So we're going to read John 11, verses 17 to 38 in the New King James Version. And then the remainder of the account of Lazarus' resurrection we'll read in the Amplified Version. So let's do it. Beginning in verse 17. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. I want to pause here. Is Martha offended? She's not. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Fact. She just knows, says life in the Lord. She knows that he healed. I know if you were here, that he would be alive. The reason I know she's not offended is because she continues with, but even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And I don't think it's sarcasm. I don't think it's judgment. It's not, she just is like, even though you weren't here to do this thing, I still believe in you anyway. Even though you were not on time. Even though you were not on time. According to what I believe time is, you are still good, and I know that you still hear and are heard by God. How many of us, I know I'm already coming in with a question and a challenge, but how many of us, when we've experienced a death, are able to go to the Lord like that? If you would have been willing, I know I could have had that. And then you go off into something else instead of, but you are sovereign God. And your will be done. It's not as easy. It's definitely not easy if you don't know the heart of God. It's definitely not easy if you don't know God is love. It's definitely not easy if you don't believe you're supremely loved by this God. Because if you believe he's a tyrant or a punisher or someone who withholds or is watching to discipline, when something doesn't come in, your mind spirals into what you have not done for the Lord, how you may have disobeyed your past sins or something, and you're like, this is recompense for what I did in the past. You might spiral in the completely wrong way because you believe wrong. I'm just going to say it straight up, because you don't see the Father correctly. And so the devil comes in and he can whisper nonsense, and you will go down this vein instead of staying praiseful, worship-filled, despite the loss. Instead of still seeing him clearly, despite the loss, you seek a reason as to why it is the case, which then pulls your heart further away from God and puts you into condemnation or puts you in a state of shame or input other negative thing that can happen. This is why these past 4 weeks now, God's love has been the focus. God's heart has been the focus, because it is integral. Continue reading in verse 23. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Look at this woman. She has suffered a great loss. She knows the source of her hope, and still She lost her brother, and yet she's able to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is come into the world." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Continuing in verse 28. "And when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, 'The teacher has come and is calling for you.'" As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha had met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" And they said to him, "Lord, come and see." Two sisters coming to the Lord. It does not say that Martha threw herself to the ground, but she says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Mary running and falling at his feet, weeping, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, the difference in this resurrection account and the one with the mother and the son, Jesus was moved with compassion with the mother and the son. In this account, he groans in his spirit and is troubled. The Amplified Version says, "He was deeply moved in spirit to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death and was troubled." He was moved. He was deeply moved in spirit to the point of anger at the sorrow caused by death and was troubled. Can you see Jesus? He notices the mother grieving her son. He is feeling everything because his friend has died. This example is personal. He is troubled. He is too experiencing the sorrow caused by death. In the account of the mother and the son, Jesus goes to the mother, "Do not weep." Three words. In this account, we have the shortest verse in the Bible. Two words, verse 35. Jesus wept. Followed by 36. "Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" Come on, beloved. Jesus wept. "Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.'" Oh my gosh. Jesus knows. Jesus is sure he is about to do something wonderful. He is about to bring back this brother that he loves so much. But this miracle isn't to show off his power. This isn't a moment to show off the power that's within him. Jesus has chosen to be with them. Be present, not in the future, not on the other end of the resurrection of Lazarus. No, with the mother, he said, "Do not weep." He positioned her for the miracle. He positioned her for the receiving of her son. Here he weeps. Here he is present. And by being present and by being with them and by mourning with them, some of the Jews acknowledge his love. They witness and declare from their own mouths, "See
how he loved him.
It's so powerful. It's beautiful.
I just want to run to Jesus and give him a hug.
Honestly, when I prepared this episode, I really sat in that for a moment. I really sat in the thought of that. So it's like, good job we can pause episodes and allow ourselves to bask in Jesus' choice, heart placement, motivation. It is a beautiful thing to sit at the feet of Jesus and take him in. Continuing on, verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Of course, people are going to speak. There are going to be people who say things. And you know what? It could have been done from like a confused place. Like, I don't get it. Like, he opens the eyes of the blind. He really could have saved this life, I'm sure. Don't you think? I don't know what the intention of this line is. But if we're going to go off of what love is in 1 Corinthians 13. Ooh. In real time, I felt like a pulling then. I was like, well, what? How are you going to position these people, right? Oh my gosh. Because love believes all things, looking for the best in each other. Okay, Holy Spirit. The absolute hesitation in me just then. Goodness, I love the Lord. I love the Lord so much. We're going to go with that one, shall we? Should we go with that one? Genuine confusion. He can open the eyes of the blind. Could he not have kept this man from dying? Now getting to, as we say in England, the meat and potatoes of this account. And it's entitled in the New King James Version, Lazarus Raised from the Dead. Verse 38, then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. I just hear authority. This is what I get when I read the words of this account in the Bible. Verse 39, Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha. Remember when I said at the weekend that Martha's words rang, echoed in my ear, echoed my sentiments? This is the part I was talking about. Not the other part where she was all praise-filled and was like, you are God, yay, you know, you are the Son of God. I know whatever you ask. It will be done for you. No, not that version, not that part. This part. This is the part I was talking about. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. And in my spirit, when the person was reading this account, I said, yep, this situation fully stinks. I kid you not, beloved, I said it to the Lord. I was like, this situation fully stinks. And the Lord said, no, it is not. The Lord said, no, it is not. Now I'm going to switch to the Amplified Version. I'm going to read verse 39 again. Because there's a word used here in the Amplified account. And I'm like, oh, this is why the spirit of offense will have you not seeing in faith. Verse 39 in the Amplified Version. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the son of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an offensive odour, for he has been dead 4 days. It is hopeless. What has happened? Remember, Martha, 18 verses above, is declaring with faith regards to Jesus. Even now, I know whatever you ask of God, God will give you. So instead of going, oh my gosh, are you going to ask God to raise my brother? She doesn't even go there. I don't know what happens in the 18 verses. I don't know if she is now her mind is on the tangible, on the physical, on the on the what it is. He's rotting. The addition in the Amplified, it is hopeless. Wow. You wouldn't believe she'd said what she'd said in verse 22. Beloved, what situation have you convinced yourself stinks and is past the point of the Father even going to resurrect it? What situation in your life were you believing him for, absolutely believing him for, knew he could, knows he can, and then it took too long? Too much time had passed, and you just stopped. And you said, forget it. I didn't want it anyway. I don't need it anyway. It must not be your will anyway. Because even maybe hoping in it is offensive to you. Ooh. You feel ridiculous even hoping in it. I will be the first one to put my hand up and say, I have been there. Me and Martha really be having our moments, okay? Okay, this is no shade to Martha. This is, I see you, sis. I see me, sis. As children of God, we can be funny. We can act out sometimes. We can act out sometimes. Returning to the scriptures, verse 40. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God? The expression of his excellence. So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes toward heaven and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I gotta pause again. He hasn't said anything. He has not said anything, beloved. Just put yourself in the picture. Join Shireen in Shireen's world, how she reads the scriptures and how she is. Put yourself in the picture. Jesus is here and he looks up and he speaks from his mouth. I thank you, right? Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And everyone's looking around going, what did he say? But Jesus knows something from the inside of him. Oh Lord, hallelujah. Has gone up, been poured out. Remember, Jesus didn't speak when he healed the woman of blood either, did he? No, she reached out, touched the hem of his garment, and he said, I feel virtue has left me. Something went up from the inside of our Lord. Hallelujah. I love it. I love it. Continuing on, verse 42. I knew that you always hear me and listen to me, but I have said this because of the people standing around, so that they may believe that you have sent me and that you have made me your representative. Lord, what a Jesus, what a Messiah. He is saying it for their benefit, and he's letting them know, I already know that you do. I am saying this out loud for them, that they may believe. This isn't a moment to show power. This is a moment to bring them home. Let them see by faith, Father God, that this that will happen is because you have made me your representative. Beloved, are we not ambassadors for Christ? Are we not his representatives on earth? Oh my gosh, come on. Are there things that you do just for the benefit of others? So they can believe? So they can take hold of the good, good Father? Verse 43, when he had said this, he shouted with a loud voice. Mm-mm, come on, Jesus. Lazarus, come out. Okay. Come out, not rise, not wake up, not live, not breathe. You know, come out. Remember, Jesus had already thanked the Father for hearing him. Verse 44, out came the man who had been dead.
his hands and feet tightly wrapped in burial cloths, linen strips, and with a burial cloth wrapped around his face, Jesus said to them, "Unwrap him and release him." Okay, when Jesus shouts, commands, "Lazarus, come out," this man did not walk. This man hopped, jumped, wiggled, I don't know. But he is bound. He is alive, but he is still bound by his burial cloths. He is still dressed in that which declares him dead, in that which is proof of him no longer being a part of the living. When I read this account, my mind, honestly, it really just goes to us, beloved, being reborn. We were dead in our sins, dead in our trespasses, and being called by Jesus into his marvelous light, laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, Hebrews 12:1, taking off which pertained to the old life that identified us under the first Adam's transgression. Oh my goodness, when I listened, read this account, the goodness of the Lord just flooded my system. Jesus said, "You unwrap him and you release him." The New King James Version says, "You loose him and let him go." Take those burial clothes off of the one that I love. When I looked up the word translated loose in the Strong's, it also mentioned break up, destroy, dissolve, unloose, melt, put off. Beloved, you cannot position another child of God as the new creation they are in Jesus if you are looking at them through their grave clothes. Child of promise, we cannot merely watch the Lord raise the dead. We cannot merely watch the Lord do his work. We must come into agreement with him, partner with him, do the work. Rejoice over the fact this child has come home, and help them shed off those burial cloths that had them tightly bound in their previous state. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are the body of Christ, beloved. We are the body of Christ. Let us love and work together. Love resurrects and lets go. Love resurrects and sets free. The let him go just really stood out for me. It did. It rang in such a beautiful way because I got free last year and all I could think about was the same thing. You received your freedom. Give freedom. Pour out that freedom that you have been given. Let him go. Jesus is the one that resurrects, right? We must trust Holy Spirit in the lives of those he has brought home. The God who resurrected will keep them. We do not go to Abba Father and go, "Great job, we've got it from here." We'll let them know what they gotta do. We must make sure we see ourselves correctly. We were there, we were bound. And then we started to see correctly because the community we were in helped take off those burial cloths. So we see ourselves correctly and each other correctly. We position ourselves and others rightly. And when the Lord says do, we do. But if the Lord says be still and know that I am God, we must trust his working in someone's life. That is how we love well, beloved. We help one another in the things that had us bound to the previous life. We were dead in, spiritually dead in. But after we have released someone of those things, loosened them of those things. You let them go. You trust the Lord in their life. You trust the God that said, come out. That is how we love well. That is how our love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance because it stems from God's heart. We come into agreement with God's heart. Imagine someone comes alive and you leave them wrapped up. Well, God did it. On to the next one. And God did it. On to the next one. Oh, God did it. On to the next one. It's like baptizing a bunch of people. They're not discipling them. It is like adding to your numbers on a church, I don't know, book or directory, whatever it goes into, church record, and then not discipling them. That is not what we've been called to do. Iron sharpens iron. I have a challenge, beloved. Matthew 5:44 reads, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? Jesus wept. Can you position your enemies, you know, for want of a better word, his enemies in this verse, like Jesus when he said, they don't know what they are doing? Like I shared in the beginning of this month with the account of Jonah, they're in spiritual darkness. Will you love them? Get angry at the effects of such a state. Will you love them? Will you groan in your spirit, get angry at such a state of being dead in our sins and seeing what it produces? Jesus loved Lazarus, yes. I'm challenging us with a connection to last week's episode, Love in Spite of. Here, love resurrects. We do not. No matter how we feel about somebody or what opinion we have on what they have done, you don't keep someone walking in darkness. You do not attempt to call someone out of a spiritual death. We must see everyone the way Jesus sees, which is, I died for you. You matter to me. You are so loved. Come home. I've made a way. Come home. I am the way. Come home. Will you let Jesus shine through you? Be willing. That's when you take away the stone. Jesus says to Martha, did I not say to you that if you believe in me, you will see the glory of God? And that's when the stone was taken away. When you're willing, that's when the stone is taken away. Then we reveal what he has already accomplished for this person. Like verse 25 says in the Amplified, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in, adheres to, trusts in, relies on me as Savior will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me as Savior will never die. Do you believe this? And then we get to watch them come out as they declare, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. What? Honestly, I feel so warm and fuzzy inside because what kind of wonderful life do we get to lead? What kind of partnering with the Lord do we get to do? What testimony, what joy, what witnessing to include us in the process, beloved? To include us in the process. We cannot do what he has done. Salvation comes by Jesus, right? Holy Spirit is given, hallelujah, that's all God. But we have our part as the body of Christ. We have our part as their family. We have our part, children of God. And what a beautiful part it is. What a wonderful part it is. I do hope you found this encouraging. I know it interjected with certain ideas and things and pauses or reflection on how we approach the Lord, how we see dead situations, how we position relationships, friendships, career paths, even ministries that we are believing for, hoping for, working on. If God has said, beloved, believe him, believe his heart, read what love is. So no matter what the devil comes in and tries to do, oh my gosh, what he tries to say, what he tries to discourage you with, because he doesn't want you, child of promise, walking in all the promises. He doesn't want you believing the personal promises God has said to you, the promises you're waiting on the Lord for. He does not want that. You already have received the greatest thing, him. The greatest thing of receiving is him. Hallelujah. Salvation. Oh my gosh. Yay, yay, yay. And then we have the audacity to live an abundant life. Because we believe our God. Because we take hold of what he says despite it all. Because love bears all things regardless of what comes. Believes all things, looking for the best in each one. Hopes all things, remaining steadfast during difficult times. Endures all things without weakening. We can tap into God who is love and be this in the world. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. I want to leave you with two verses to just further encourage you, and then I'm going to pray for you. And this is how we're closing out month two of 2025. Thank you, Jesus. Romans 8, verse 38 and 39. I'm pretty sure you knew this was coming. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh my gosh. Just yay. That's what I got. That's what I got, children of God. Yay. Let's pray. Abba. Oh, Father God, thank you so much for this account. Thank you so much for this example. Thank you so much for your heart. Thank you so much for your willingness. Your willingness to sit with us in the present. Even though you know full well you're going to work wonderful things for us. Jesus wept. When we are going through things and we come to you and we are in despair, even though you know 6 months from now, a month from now, whatever the time frame is, that we will be in a completely different situation. You do not force us to be on the other side, but Father God, you sit with us. You are there with us. The Bible tells us you are close to those who have a broken spirit and have a contrite heart. This is the Father we have access to, and we are so grateful, Father God. And I pray for everyone who is listening to my voice or watching online, that they would allow themselves to open up and receive the fullness of your love, Father God, that they would allow themselves to trust you fully, to see you rightly, dear Lord, and so their joy can be full in your presence. When they realize truly they have everything, absolutely everything that they need, because they have you. That they have love they could never imagine, because they have you, because you are there, because you are willing, because you have chosen, because you sent your Son. Father God, Your scriptures tell us that there is nothing that can separate us from such a wonderful love. What an abundant life that we have access to. Help us, Father. Help us to really desire to be this love in the earth, not judging others, not holding offense, Father God, not trying to justify a position of withholding or a position of not getting involved, dear Lord, but stepping fully into the light of your love, bearing all things, believing all things, hoping all things, enduring in all things. This is possible simply because Jesus lives. You are love. It is possible because you pour out your spirit into us. We are temples of you, Father. Thank you. But the Spirit of Jesus dwells. It is possible because you are. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. May this be an anchor to our soul, Father God. May we trust you with all of ourselves, and may we not cease to praise you as we witness what walking in this way on the earth while we are living, what it produces. Who is man that you are so mindful of us, Father God? Thank you for seeing us, understanding, and always being willing. We praise your name. Be with this upcoming week. Provide opportunity, dear Lord. I thank you in advance for having your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for joining me, for listening, for basking in another account of Jesus, for taking hold of your identity in Christ as a child, allowing the Lord to refine us together. I thoroughly enjoy this and I'm so humbled to share. So yeah, thank you. Thank you for completing month 2 with me. March is round the corner. Ooh, I'm excited. You have a fantastic week and I will see you next week by God's beautiful grace. God bless.